Good morning, young scholars. Welcome back to our virtual classroom. Today, we're going to go ahead and resume reading Martin Luther King Jr. by Rob Lloyd-Jones. We are doing so with permission from Usborne Press. So, you know, up to this point, and actually over the past couple of days, we've gone ahead and we've been focusing in on collecting evidence to support a line of thinking while we read. You know, in this evidence collection that we have been compiling, it's going to be important in helping us to determine the author's message as we move into the third quadrant and coming to the end of that third quadrant. Because remember, you know, at the end of the third quadrant, about three-quarters of the way through the book here, is where we have the turning point. And, you know, oftentimes that is where the author's message is revealed as well. So, you know, we want to continue along this line of thinking here. But, you know, one other thing here is that this evidence that we have been collecting here, we can also go ahead and use this, and good readers do this. They use that evidence to make predictions about how the book will end. And, you know, here, when we're talking about making predictions, it's entering into that engagement loop, or that loop of engagement that we talked about earlier. So what I'd like you to do is, please, let's go ahead and listen as I model how I think about the events in the text and how they support our line of thinking. And again, that line of thinking is that MLK is an important person to know because he believed in peace and this whole idea of peaceful protest. And that was really what his movement was all about. So what you're going to need today, please get your copy of Martin Luther King Jr. out, have your reader's notebook out, and your have a couple of sharpened pencils for you so we can go ahead and get ready. All right, if you will, let's go ahead, open up to page 37 in the book, Martin Luther King Jr. And we are on chapter 6 here, and it says, "The Struggle Continues." You know, that's the title of this. So, you know, this chapter, the title tells me that we will continue to learn about how the black community struggled for freedom during this time. Also, take a look at that picture at the top of page 37. It's a Time magazine cover with Dr. King on there. We've got a portrait of Dr. King in the foreground, and in the background it appears that that's a picture of him preaching at his church, And it says here, Martin Luther King appeared on the cover of this popular magazine in February of 1957. So here, you know, that shows that he is becoming well-known throughout the country. And again, he's becoming well-known because of this idea of saying, you know, this is not right, the way blacks are treated. It's not right, and we're going to try and do something about it. Now, unlike some other individuals during this time frame who advocated or who met hate with hate and violence with violence, Dr. King went ahead and he met hate with love. And it was all about nonviolent protest in order to bring about change, you know. And that's what we saw with the Montgomery bus boycotts. You know, that thing lasted over a year, and it was a peaceful protest. But finally, after over a year, the Supreme Court ruled that it was illegal to go ahead and segregate the buses the way they had. So, you know, he is finding success with nonviolent protest. All right, if we could, let's go ahead and jump into the book then. Chapter 6, The Struggle Continues. And again, we are on page 37. Things began to happen fast after the boycott. News of the protesters' success spread quickly across the country. Suddenly, every black American wanted to hear more from the man whose courage had led the protesters to victory. Martin hadn't set out to be a leader, but now that he'd become one, he never missed an opportunity to campaign against segregation. He wrote a book about the bus boycott named Stride Toward Freedom, and in 1957, he agreed to become chairman of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the SCLC, a group of senior black ministers who promoted civil rights. The position was based in Atlanta, so Martin waved a sad farewell to Montgomery and returned with Coretta and Yolanda to his old hometown. Martin's parents were delighted, welcoming him back in church with huge smiles. "He is not little Martin anymore," his father told the congregation. "He is Dr. King now." Martin's parents were right to be proud. Their son's courage had inspired black people across America to take action of their own. In Arkansas, black students marched through racist mobs to attend newly integrated schools. In North Carolina, several protesters sat at white-only lunch counters, refusing to leave until they were either served or arrested. So these sit-ins had spread all over the South. By the time they reached Atlanta, Martin was ready to join them. Now, when we look at that picture on page 39, we have a black man sitting at a counter, and it looks like he's reading a book there. And it says, the caption, "A black student sits at a lunch counter in Nashville, Tennessee, in protest against unfair segregation laws. Bundles of napkins have been placed next to him to discourage others from joining in." So this young man is peacefully protesting, you know, this idea of a whites-only counter or a blacks-only counter. You know, he's obviously believing in desegregation here. So, you know, when Martin Luther King Jr. inspired other black people to protest, he's proving that he believes in peace, because the protests that are flowing from the writing and the speaking of Dr. King and his actions during the Montgomery bus boycott, these protests are peaceful. So this makes me think that Martin, he's giving people confidence to stand up for their rights and to do so in a peaceful manner. So what I want to do is we're going to go ahead and open up our reader's notebook to page 20. It begins on page 20, which is our evidence collection box page. It has our line of thinking up at the top. But it goes for several pages 20 through 22. So go ahead and turn to your last entry, and that should be over a year ago, over a year later, the black community won, segregation on buses was illegal. That should be our last entry in our evidence collection box. I want to go ahead and skip a line, put a new entry in there. All right, so make sure you got your sharpened pencil out and you're on your evidence collection box. Our next entry will be, Martin gave people confidence to stand up for their rights in peaceful ways. Again, Martin gave people confidence to stand up for their rights in peaceful ways. Go ahead and push pause if you need to. I will post this on today's blog as well. You'll see pictures of my notebook. But please, let's go ahead and get that in there. All right, beginning on page 41. Before we go ahead and get into the reading, though, let's take a look at that picture on page 40. And here we've got Dr. King. Looks to be like he's being escorted by two policemen here. And at the bottom of page 41, let's read the caption that goes along with that picture. It says, "Police led Martin Luther King from a protest in downtown Atlanta. Even as he was taken to jail, Martin vowed to continue to fight segregation." All right, let's see what's going on here with this picture. Let's start up at the top of page 41. On October 19, 1960, Martin walked into a department store in the middle of Atlanta and sat with several other protesters at a whites-only lunch counter. He was arrested within minutes, but it didn't matter. TV cameras had broadcast his protest to the whole nation. His message was clear. He was happy to go to jail in the name of freedom. All right, so this picture must be coming from right after that, after he was hauled out of that protest that he had in the department store. So when young Martin said he was happy to go to jail in the name of freedom, my question is to you, is how did he prove, or how does this prove that he believes in peace, and believes in peaceful protest? So again, when Martin, he said that he was happy to go to jail in the name of freedom. And the question is, how does this prove that he believes in peace? This is going to be one of our daily questions today. So, you can go ahead and push pause now if you need some time to ponder and think about that and pull on your imaginary beard for a little bit. Or we can go ahead and just at the very end get into our daily questions and you can do your pondering then. Okay. All right. So I'm going to add that to our evidence collection box here. So our next entry there is going to be, I'm just going to put in there that Martin was happy to go to jail in the name of freedom. Again, Martin was happy to go to jail in the name of freedom. That'll be our next entry in our evidence collection box. Push pause if you need to get caught up. Again, this will be posted on the blog along with this podcast. All right, as I go ahead and continue, I want you to, again, let's be looking for evidence that proves that Dr. King truly believed in this idea of peace and peaceful protest. And again, all of this was inspired long ago when he was at university by the writings and the teachings of Mahatma Gandhi. Okay, page 41, second paragraph. After a week in a dank jail cell, Martin emerged exhausted. Since Montgomery, he had traveled thousands of miles and given his support to dozens of protests. He was happy, at last, to have some time at home with his family. By 1963, he and Coretta had three more children, boys named Martin Luther and Dexter Scott, and a girl named Bernice Albertine. Martin relished every minute with them and Yolanda, reading together, playing baseball, or just sitting in the yard staring at the clouds. But even at home, they couldn't escape the shadow of segregation. One evening, Martin was sitting with Yolanda when an advertisement for a local fair came on the television. Yolanda's eyes lit up immediately. "Can we go, Daddy?" she pleaded. Martin's heart sank. Yolanda was six now and growing smarter every day, but there were a lot of things she didn't understand yet. And she didn't realize that the fair wasn't open to black children. That night, Martin lay awake thinking about the past few years. Protests such as the sit-ins had brought an end to segregation in hundreds of towns across the South, but black people remained second-class citizens. The time had come to make a bigger statement. Okay, let's, before we go ahead and talk about this section here, let's look at that picture on page 42. And the caption is, Martin Luther King and his daughter Yolanda sit on a swing at their home in Atlanta. Right? So when Dr. King showed that he was determined to end segregation, and at the very end there, it's just, the time had come to make a bigger statement, and he's determined, again, to end segregation. How does this prove that he believes in peace? That's going to be one of our daily questions today. And then the last thing that we're going to go ahead and put in that evidence collection box is just that. Martin was determined to end segregation. So we should have three new entries in our evidence collection box for this reading. All right. Now, to wrap up this first part of our podcast, I have one more question for you. And again, this will be in our daily check-in and our daily questions. is, what do you think will happen next? You know, we're left with the time had come to make a bigger statement. Something obviously is going to be happening here. Based on the evidence that we've collected up to this point, what do you think is going to happen next? Because, you know, think back to the very beginning. We said that we go ahead and collect this evidence, and, you know, it helps us in understanding the author's message. But it also, we can use this to enter into that loop of engagement where we make predictions. We go ahead and we read a little bit further to see if that prediction is correct or not, you know. And then, you know, as we get new information, we make new predictions. So it's entering into this loop of engagement is what we call that. And I said this before, that helps draw us deeper into the text here. All right. I hope you enjoyed this chapter. This is going to be the end of part one. I'm hoping to have two parts to our podcast for today. So until then, I'll be right back. Peace.